Citizen comments?
Who are we missing?
Ed?
Kavicki's not here.
Aaron? Ed?
Aaron's not here.
All right, and I have no reports. Are there any committee reports?
Happy New Year.
All right, we have number five then, the budget hearing approval of the minutes. December 3rd, November 21st, do you have those?
Move to approve.
Second.
Discussion? No discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And the first item is the CABA report. And who is here to do that? Tina, there you are. Okay, I didn't see that.
Well, get me up to speed on protocol.
All right, why don't you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Take a seat.
It's my first time here. I'm Tina Schmitz with CABA. I'm fairly new to the organization, been there about 8 weeks. So you have the CABA report in front of you for the third quarter of 2013. It reflects all the bank activity and the funds. Just a couple things I wanted to bring to your attention if you haven't seen already. On the, on the county revolving loan fund, you have one loan recipient that's in default at the moment that has not made a payment all year long. Their current loan balance is $171,000. It's Paddock Lake Heights. They have two buildings out in Paddock Lake. It is in receivership, and our legal counsel is working to work with them to secure a long-term lease so the building can be sold and then we can collect our assets. But I just want to make sure that you no other defaults. Everyone else is making their payments in a timely manner. And no other issues to report. Happy to answer any questions you might have.
Is that a new building that they built, or?
It's, no, I'm not sure how new it is. It's been out there for several years, I know that. No, I think the latest appraisal came in quite low. It was $1.2 million, I believe. It's gone down quite a bit.
This is building that Bright Trees.
Correct.
Bright Trees, tenant in it, and they clean the building.
Further discussion? All right, seeing none, we'll close the discussion then, and thank you very much for coming. The next item, seven, a human services resolution, 2013 operating surplus. And go ahead.
Good evening, everyone, and Happy New Year. If I haven't said that for you, this is, I don't know how much of this you want me to do. You want me to go through this line by line?
Give us a, why don't you explain it? I don't know line by line, but.
Okay, we have several items as, that we need to get mostly repaired. That's what most of all of these are. Our loading dock has a big spot of rust in it, and if it breaks, we're not able to bring things in and out, you know, the facility. We had a project that we were working on with Public Works to switch out our lights to LED lights because the way they're fixed in our ceiling right now, there's a hole that does not create a smoke tight and fire barrier the way it should. And it kind of, when Mr. Henning retired, we don't know really what happened to it, except we got some examples in on what kind of equipment we should get. And so we would like to move forward replacing that, those lights, from the fluorescent to the LEDs. We want to put a card access reader in the front entrance. That's something you can take your name tag and then that will open the front door. Currently, our night shift we lock our front doors, and I know you all heard about our burglary. So we have installed a camera there, but right now our employees have to enter the front door and wait in the lobby for someone to come and open the door, and we'd like to put this card reader in so that they can let themselves in, just like they do at the back doors. We've had sprinkler pipes that have been leaking. We've repaired all of them except one wing in the main hub, and we'd like to finish that project. We did run out of money this year for it, so we'd like to finish that project. We're in the process of doing our ceiling repairs, and we want to make sure we meet every week to make sure that we're meeting budget, but we have a small contingency in here just in case we don't meet budget. We need to continue making that repair so that we're in compliance with the state. And we have two floors that are cracked and breaking and buckling, and they cannot be repaired, and we need to again have our floors intact in order to be compliant with federal regulations. And we would like to buy a commercial washer and dryer. We outsourced our laundry department last year, and we're going to be selling the giant industrial washer and dryers. But we would like a small commercial washer and dryer every now and then. We need to do some of our, a little bit of laundry. Maybe it's a comforter or something like that. And last is to finish the payment for the consultant that was looking at the possible expansion or study in Brookside. So I did go through them all.
All right, so that total is $145,000, and then the balance is just going to be retained?
Yes.
$215,000, so.
Well, we booked $320,000 in our 2013 budget, automatically in our budget to give back, and it looks like we're going to end the year with an additional $250,000 to $300,000.
So a grand total of?
Well, we don't have our books closed, but our November statement, we were again ahead $250,000. So that's at least $550,000.
Okay. Discussion?
I move to approve.
Just for the committees, because we don't see it on here, the Brookside trustees on Monday went over all this and had a lengthy explanation of every item, and they signed off approving it all. The entire committee, okay. Unanimously.
Ron?
I make a motion to approve.
Second. Further discussion? Go.
Just some questions here, Mrs. Petrick. In terms of the review that was done by the consultant, has that been completed?
No, it is almost completed, and we have a meeting scheduled with the county executive to go over it.
Okay, so that should be, in what timeline, what frame would we expect that to be wrapped up?
Well, we're meeting with the county executive in the beginning of February.
Okay, so in the next month or so?
Yes.
Okay. And in terms of, you say November's closed out, and they had a budget surplus of approximately $150,000,
mm-hmm.
And
yes.
That was just for that particular month?
No,
or that was being carried forward?
That was the year end.
Okay.
We like I explained, we budgeted to give back $320,000, and in addition to that, we still had a surplus of it looks like about $250,000.
Okay. Now, does your year end in November, or does it end December?
Oh, it's in December.
Okay. So when do the books commonly close out for December? When do you actually have that done generally?
January 31st or the end of the year.
Okay, so in the next couple weeks coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Those are my questions. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right, thank you. Heard Mark.
Did we have the consultant do additional work beyond their...
Initially, they budgeted $50,000, and we weren't at the end of the project. We hadn't finished this. We didn't get the results yet. And they said, you know what, we've had so many meetings, and they keep, oh, well, let's try this, and let's move this around, and see what if we had the census like this, and what if the building looked like this. So there's been a lot of change in plans.
Well, that just seems to me that it, you know, should have been a fixed fee for scope of work. You know, here we are, January 16th, with $100,000 modification of the budget already.
It was mentioned.
Yeah, John.
There was, I don't exactly remember what you said the discount was. They did do some discounting as far as, from their standpoint.
I always discount when I get the charge extra.
You do that, too?
Yeah. Really? I'm in the same business. Sure, I discount it, because the ads are always a quarter on a buck. No wonder they discounted it. I mean, if we got a scope of service up front, I'm not sure why we're here to that. That's a minor one in the overall scheme of things. You know, I guess I could take exception to a washer and dryer. If we knew we were getting rid of the washer and dryer, but we wanted to buy another, new ones on January 16th, why didn't we have that conversation at budget time? Right? Even if at budget time you would have said to me, we may come back in January to purchase what is going to fit our need outside of laundry, but we need to have this washer and dryer in-house. We're going to come back in January and take it out of surplus if it's available. I said, fine. Because obviously that's what the plan was. But that's all good stuff. Keep that in mind.
Well, just to follow up, you know, we're talking about the consultant. Was the figure 116 that you alluded to, $116,000 additional?
No, the additional is $6,800, I think.
$6,800, okay. So at whose direction did we expand the scope of the consultant's range? Was the consultant recommending that? Was it something internally we felt had to be addressed? Can you just detail us on that?
It was internally. The county exec was aware of this, that they had, you know, gone over their $50,000, and he directed us to finish the work.
He directed to finish, but it was the consultant that had gone over their limit. They were not directed to go over it, just they were going, is that it?
Well, no, they notified us that they were at the end, you know, that they were invoicing us and that they were under the $50,000.
We're saying that they weren't complete with their work and they were asking for the authorization to continue on.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mike?
The LED fixtures are replaced. What's the, I mean, $63,000.
All of them.
All of them?
All of the ones that are up in the ceiling.
Well, that's the four fixtures. And
I don't know the exact number to the stand.
Do you know anything about
I just know that LED fixtures cost 2 to 3 times as much as a regular fixture, but they save over the life. They last about much, much longer.
Well, I know everything's good about it, but
I don't know the exact numbers, though, either.
It's a lot of money. And
200.
There's a payback.
200?
Mm-hmm. Approximately 200.
And then 5,000 to install?
And that's based on the cost of what is having the gentleman from the highway.
Yes. Right. Okay, thank you.
Have we looked at a payback?
I know anytime we've done a couple of these different ones, and every one had a payback of between 3 and 4 years. The cost of the fixtures, less the savings.
Yep. Thank you.
Did we look at E-Energies and see if they get us any rebates or paybacks or anything like that?
With this particular one, I'm not sure, but anytime we buy this, any like that, we call them. There's a guy we call, and he lets us know whether there's an additional credit on top of it.
Okay, thank you.
All right, further discussion? All right, there's a resolution on the floor with a motion to approve.
I already did.
No, I. That's right.
Oh, we already moved.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch what you seconded. Okay, that's all.
Yeah. All right, any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Thank you. All right, the next item on the agenda is a Chair's resolution on Department of Transportation pretrial program, and Nancy, you're going to present that.
Good evening, Chairman and Committee and
students. I'll be presenting two resolutions tonight. Both of them are adjustments to our 2013 budget because both grant programs began last year and go into this year. So any unspent unearned revenue and unspent expenses will be carried over into 2014 to finish the program for each of these programs. The first one on the agenda is the intensive supervision program. We've had this for a number of years. This is funded by the Department of Transportation, Bureau of Transportation Safety. The funding year starts July of 2013. It'll run through June of this year, 12 months. We're usually notified August, September of the award amount, but we're bringing it to you in January because I wait for the official award letter from the state, and we got that late December. As soon as the award letter comes in, then we can request reimbursement for the expenses we incurred for 6 months of the program, which is in the works right now. So this is an adjustment of $71,079 for the 2013 budget, and that's represents $70,000 from the state for the new WCS run program for intensive sanctions. And the other $1,079 is an adjustment at the tail end of the program that ended June 30. They had some extra money, the state, so they offered us $1,079, and we purchased, I think the last page might be an invoice on that packet that shows what we purchased in June or July to spend that $1,079, a portion of that mouthpieces or something for the alcohol testing supplies. Currently, we have 180 clients on the program right now. These are second, third, or greater offenses for drunk driving that are can be accepted to this program. These are individuals who are released from jail after they're ordered by a judge or that they could be put on this program. And WCS does an assessment to accept them. So these individuals, through their pretrial process, are not in our jail. They're at home, but intensely supervised by the Wisconsin Community Services. I have Matt Rule here, our assistant program director for our program in Kenosha. If I believe there might be a page of statistics that might be in your packet for this. The second and third columns just show the funded years that we've had in the past, the one ending June of 13 and the 1 year prior ending June in 2012, some of the actual activity. And the goals for the new round of funding is to have 200 new clients. And right now we have 180. The program will run June 30 this year. The $70,000 is part of a number of funding sources that run that affords this program. The resolution on the first page details the four funding sources: the clients, KMP, the grant. We have an in-kind match that's recognized for the office space for the WCS staff, and part of the budget approval is $45,000 of hard match. That's part of our budget proposal that was approved for 2014 is in there.
Any further questions? Anything further on your report?
No, I'm sorry.
All right. discussion. John?
Approved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Further discussion? Seeing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And you're going to do the next as well?
Yes, I will. The next resolution is a round of funding from the Wisconsin Department of Transportation again. The alcohol enforcement program, $4,300, and this covers overtime costs, including some benefits associated with overtime, and some equipment, which I think are alcohol sensor devices, a supply of those, totaling the $24,300. I'm going to pass out here, because I didn't have it at the time of the resolution, if you want to take a couple. This is some statistics from the alcohol program that ended in September of 2013. This grant begins in October 2013 and runs through September of this year. First part of the numbers there, maybe the look at the third to last column where I have indicated September 2013. Those were September citations or warrant issued. Below that, where I have written in the October 12 to August 13, those are year-to-date totals for citations and warnings under the alcohol enforcement program that ended in September. Beginning on each of those rows will be the types of citations issued by type, so it gives you an idea of the activity under this particular grant. We put anywhere from 3 to 4 officers out on the road, late second shift, third shift on various dangerous locations.
All right, discussion? Bill?
Just a question. When I look at this spreadsheet here, citations are one column, total of written warnings issued is another, and then total contacts is at the end. Is it possible to have a contact without a written warning or a citation issued? Do we know how that works?
Yes, I'm sure there's
discretion.
Yes. Okay.
What equipment are we buying with this?
We are, I think it's the PBTs. Okay. A device.
Portable breath.
Thank you.
Is that different than something we currently use?
No, we use them. This just gives us enough inventory for them. I'm going to look here to see how many that we're asking funding for. $2,790 is the portion applied to the equipment category. We're looking for 6 of the intoximeter sensor devices. I don't know if they age and they have to be
replaced.
Also
increase
inventory. Yes.
All right, the resolution. Any other discussion, John?
What's OAR, OAS?
Operating after revocation, operating after suspension.
Okay. Seems to be a lot of that.
Further discussion?
Move to approve.
All right, there's a motion to approve and a second. Any other discussion?
Second. Okay.
No discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. And are you going to present the next one, the inmate? Or, no, the sheriff is.
Oh, that's the big gun.
Okay.
Mr. Gerson, do you have the original?
Yes.
Can I explain this for you for a minute?
Needs a read off.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, basically what I'm asking to do here is amend section 4.4 of the county ordinance for jail inmate maintenance costs, and this is what we discussed at budget time for electronic monitoring. The only thing we're adding to or looking to do is add a section E for the charge of electronic monitoring shall be $16 per day.
and that mirrors the Huber feet. So it's exactly the same, so you either can do Huber or you can do electronic monitoring, same dollar amount, just adding that section to make sure we cover everything.
Discussion? Mark?
What supports the $16 a day? How do we get that number?
Because it mirrors the Huber fee. The cost for the equipment, it's going to vary if they have what we put them on. The electronic monitoring bracelet, I think, is $4.60 a day. The portable breath test machine, I don't know if I brought that in or not.
No.
You brought something.
I brought the ankle bracelet, described it. It looks like a PBT. And if we put them on that, we can have them blow every 30 minutes, twice a day, once a day, certain periods of time. And it also gives GPS monitoring too, and it will actually give a picture of the person that's blowing into this portable breath testing machine too. So that is about $6 a day, $7 a day for that piece of equipment. More than likely, people will just have the ankle bracelet on, and but in order to cover the cost for both pieces, we're making it just $16 a day. All the equipment that they will be using is also insured at 50 cents a day for each piece of equipment. So in case it gets lost, stolen, damaged, it's covered.
So when you say they cost $4 a day or $7 a day, what do you mean by that?
We rent the equipment from BCI. I think that's the...
BI.
And we only get charged when people are using it. So if we have 10 units, five are on the shelf, we're not getting charged for the five that are being used. So renting it for us at this stage of the game when we're first making this work is the most practical for our department.
And then we anticipate we'll do this with how many people?
Well, I can only tell you that Worth County has about 100 out on it. We have more inmates than they do. We're not sure if their inmates have more money and can afford it better than ours, but we're starting off slow and we're going to see where it grows. We'll know better by the end of the year.
What do they charge?
I think theirs is higher. I think they were about, it's about the same. It's either about 16 or 17 or 18.
So when you say this is a number that Huber is, how do we get to that Huber number? What I'm getting at is, you know, we're providing them an opportunity. I realize there's benefit to you, so you don't want to price yourself out of the benefit.
Mm-hmm.
Or out of the, I guess the benefit to you. At the same time, you know, I think to ask them to pay for the privilege, and I don't know that $16 is, who would take you up on that? Right?
For the average person that's probably sitting here in this room, $16 a day, I don't want to say is a drop in the bucket, but for the most of the people that will be out on this monitoring system, $16 a day it could be a very substantial sum of money. If they're out for a month, that's almost $500 in a month to be out. And that, again, for anyone in this room to be out and home rather than be in our facility, we could manage that, except for probably you two. But for the average person we have in our facility, $500 a month is pretty substantial. So we think that's fair, and it's the same dollar amount that Huber is. That's why we mirrored that.
Okay, thank you.
Further discussion?
Motion to approve.
Second?
Second.
Further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, thank you. And the next resolution is a joint services resolution. Yes. And Tom, you're going to present that.
You're out. So, $100 is good. This is the box. Cool.
Good evening.
Do you have that resolution?
No, there's one here.
Dave, did you take the resolution?
No, I have Dave's resolution. It's right, I was looking for the previous one.
Well,
Aaron has it.
Aaron's got it. Yeah, it's coming.
right, Tom.
Okay. I'm here seeking to get approval for the disbursement of funds to purchase a digital imaging management system for MSHA Joint Services. This was all along intended to be part of the public safety software. Because of many reasons, we need to move along with this a little bit quicker. The Sheriff's Department, Police Department are still using 35-millimeter cameras and film. It's becoming very, very expensive to continue to purchase this film and the cameras. The digital imaging management system will allow us to transition to digital cameras, and then we'll be able to download the digital images to this management system. There are multi-uses for it. It's going to be a multi-site system, including one out of 45 and 50. I believe it's a step that needed to be taken many, many years ago. It's taken a while, and I think it needs to be done now.
So are these the photographs that you take when someone's arrested, or is this something that the deputy uses?
No, this would be more when there's a traffic accident, a crime scene. Oh. The officers would be out at the scene. They're taking pictures. And then they would, much like, excuse me, this is like an electronic file cabinet. You just take the SD card from your camera, put it in this digital imaging management system. It downloads the pictures. And then as you need them, we can print them up, or people can look at them. Detectives will be able to look at them from their computers. The district attorney's office will be able to look at them from their computers. It's going to expedite this entire system. It's going to modernize this entire system.
And how many cameras do you get for this?
That's going to be up to the individual agencies to choose how they do that. This is more the electronic file cabinet, the management system. The cameras are going to be the responsibility of the police department, sheriff's department.
All right, discussion? Mark?
Go ahead, Bill.
Does this have to interface with the new 9/11 software and so forth, or is this a standalone?
It's a standalone system.
Will it be integration or overlap into it, or?
The only interface that we anticipate will be allowing case numbers to interface. Case number is generated from dispatch. The officer gets it on the road. They'll then enter this case number into this management system to log the pictures. We anticipate that that interface will allow that to happen electronically.
So from your standpoint, to go forward with this, present no, again, I'm asking a question, would prevent no compatibility issues with what we'll do in the future as far as software, is that correct?
That is correct. There should be none.
Thank you. That's my question.
Right.
What's the time frame to get this thing going and to get it? 30 to 90 days. We're anticipating closer to 30 days. What we did was we put together a multi-jurisdictional work group, Sheriff's Department, Police Department, Joint Services. There are a couple systems out there, and so we've identified the system that really is the only one that works for all of our agencies. And so we have that system identified. Once we have the funding approved, we anticipate moving forward with that. And we said 30 to 90 days.
All right, further discussion? Did you have
some
more?
So we bid it already?
I approached the Joint Services Board and I asked for permission to sole source it because it really is truly the only one that works. And so we have been in negotiations for a price. The price is approximately $100,000. Then we look at city county split.
But we're off. So how much are we authorizing? Yeah, we're authorizing 100, so we get reimbursed in the city?
I believe the authorization is 100.
Portion of 100 is, I believe the resolution says for the county portion of 100.
No, it says here the estimated cost of the DIM is approximately $100,000.
Yeah, but I think if you look at one of the other lines in there, I thought it would have written it that way.
It says approve the purchase and disbursement of the share. How much is that?
How much is 100?
Or no, 60, 40?
Well, the director just said it's $100,000 total.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it just says that our approved the purchase and disbursement of the county share of the final line was my intent to be the county share of the $100,000.
Gotcha. I'm sorry.
Okay.
So that's approximately how much?
Approximately 2/3 of the cost.
Further discussion? You have a motion?
We'll move.
Second.
Further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. And the next item is the labor agreement. Bob? Or, no, I'm sorry, go ahead. Yes, the labor agreement.
Public Works memo for parks. Right after joint service.
Head of joint
service.
Not on our, you're not on our agenda.
Successor labor agreement.
That was added.
There's an updated.
No?
John, you're on.
Thank you.
It's added. Where's the paperwork?
We're asking to repurpose money and delay the purchase of one fertilizer spreader. We have in the budget for two. A new mower we want to buy to mow up at Brightendale Park actually came in then quite a bit higher, about $7,000 higher than the quote from the salesman. So what I'm asking to do is eliminate the, or delay for 2 or 3 years the purchase of the second fertilizer spreader, which is at about $9,763 each, and use $7,000 of that money to purchase the mower.
All right, discussion? This can be approved by the committee without board.
No board.
All right, what discussion or what is your decision? Yes.
Did this go through the other committee?
Planning Parks, yes.
And that was brought up when? Was it this past Monday or when was that on the agenda?
Yes, Monday.
Move to approve.
Second.
Further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you.
Thank you.
And now the labor agreement.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman and committee, thank you very much. We have successfully negotiated a successor labor agreement with the Pinellas County Deputy Sheriff's Association. As you know, they are the only group of county employees to have an active union, as they are exempt from the laws governing Act 10. And so we are required to negotiate the traditional style of contract that you have been used to if you've been on the board for a number of years. This is a very simple contract that is a successor labor agreement, which has wage increases in each of the next 3 years. You can see those on page 26 of the contract that I've included in your packet. In summary, it is a 2% wage increase on June 29th of this year, a 1% wage increase on October 4th of 2015, and a 1% wage increase on October 2nd of 2016. We have also permitted an increase in the uniform allowance of $50 in 2014 and in 2016. You'll find that language on page 18. And finally, we are going to change the residency requirement to comply with state law. On page 20, we used to have a narrower residency requirement. Now, to be consistent with state law, deputy sheriffs will be allowed to live within 15 miles of the southwest and north borders of Pinellas. With that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
15 miles up the southwest border.
Is that a crow flies?
Any border.
Of any border?
Of any border.
Oh, okay.
If there's an island 15 miles out east, probably.
Yeah, I could live.
I live on a houseboat.
could still
15 miles. Not have to live in Wisconsin. In some ways, in kind of an odd sort of way, we've increased our recruitment area.
Yeah.
Is your projected wage increase the 1.8 or is that the total?
Yeah, the costing is attached. I'm sorry, I should have pointed that out. The costing is attached, 1.8 per year.
That's the insurance cost, everything, or is that just the wage?
That's everything.
Everything. Further discussion?
There's two bumps this year.
No, there's one bump. It's 2% in mid-year.
Okay.
and then 1% in 2015. 1%.
That's what it says. It says 2% June 29th to 14, 1% October 4th to 14.
Okay, I'm sorry, that's incorrect.
And 1% October 2nd to 16.
Okay, it is 2015. This is a mistake.
Correction on the
Well, you're gonna pass it as amended, aren't you?
He's got a 14 figure, it should be 14.
But I'm happy to pass it as amended, but we've been cautioned before about making any changes, so. Is that an issue or?
No. That's correct.
Or plus the percentage.
Bill?
So, Mr. Riedel, so for two plus one plus one, when you roll it all up, compound it, is this where you get 5.54% increase in our box that's written here? What is the total net increase 3 years?
Yeah. Is that in there?
That's what I'm asking.
$475,000.
$475,622.
But I'm saying in percentage is the 5.5.
5.54 or an average of 1.8 per year.
Thank you.
Yes, Jack.
This is, from start to finish on this, when did you start this? What's the time frame on the negotiations?
About November 1st.
Of this, of 2013?
Yes.
Okay.
And I think we fully agreed on the 18th minute. No contributions.
Okay.
Further discussion?
Move to approve.
There a second?
Second.
Further discussion on the contract?
Only question I have.
Yes.
There's just a discrepancy here, and the top has the date right, the bottom doesn't, so I don't know if you need an amendment to that or not.
Where, what page are you in?
I'm on page 26.
26.
Oh, 20. Where is the type?
Top of the columns have the dates correct, 14, 15, and 16 is the increases. The bottom paragraph says 2014 twice.
If it pleases the chair, the maker of the motion would prefer to have it amended and done properly. So
all right.
Be on the same page.
Or at least noted that it's been corrected and put that up to the board.
That's what they agreed to, right?
Yes. So that October 4th of 2014, I should change that to 2015.
Yes.
Right. I'm just going to draw a pencil through it and say 2015.
Right. All right, is there further discussion?
Good.
Seeing none, all those in favor of approving the agreement as corrected at page 26, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes. And the next item on our agenda. All right, the overtime policy.
You'll remember about 3 months ago, the sheriff and the chief deputy and I came before you and requested the opportunity to allow supervisor personnel in the jails to pick up overtime hours, way to alleviate the overtime and the lack of staffing associated with the number of vacant positions. I'm pleased to report that we filled all the vacant positions, but we are asking for a 3 month extension of your permission to offer overtime to supervisors while some of those folks get trained. I believe that we are now hired three over, isn't it? Three over?
Three in the classroom.
So we will have three additional corrections officers in the bullpen, so to speak, in an attempt to avoid what happened last year. In case you're interested, six supervisors took advantage of the overtime. 72 hours were picked up by that group, and quite helpful. So while our new hires get trained and prepare to take full-time shifts on their own, we would appreciate the opportunity to continue this practice.
Does this require, the way it's drafted, and if the committee is approving, the board does not?
Correct.
And is that what you're advising on the Corporation Council?
We took the same action as we did last time, so that was for committee approval.
Didn't we incorporate that in the budget? No?
No,
we just did it.
No, but I think they we can go back and look. The policy may address some of that, the authority to the
I think it was a separate action.
Yeah.
We came in early September.
All right. Okay. Discussion? Bill?
Just reiterate what you said. There's a total of how many hours that were used by the supervisory personnel?
72.
And if I recall correctly from our previous meetings, that was after the jailers, the rank and file, were given first dibs at it, so to speak, and this is picked up?
Yes.
Well, just a comment, as long as I've got the floor here. This is indeed the type of proactive policy I think we're looking for. The idea of having supervisory personnel being able to cover when needed. Also, the idea, if I understand what you mentioned earlier, the quote-unquote bullpen approach, where you have people that are technically hired, they're not on the payroll, is that my understanding? They're not actually being paid, or they are being paid?
Oh, yeah, they're being paid.
They're being paid.
Yeah, they're training right now.
Okay. So they are basically in excess of what is needed to fill all positions, or they are within that number that we've designated?
I believe in the budget resolution, you gave us the permission to overhire by a small amount.
I'm pleased to see this happen this way.
Thank you.
Chair?
Just so you know, with this overtime, I'm bringing this forward again, or Bob's bringing it forward. Our work group at the jail, they actually requested to have us continue this. And I know we can't do this indefinitely, but they're the ones that actually brought it up again and said, we love the fact that the supervisors can help step into this. So they said it at the last meeting, I said, some of you have come, and almost half of them said, we will be there. And I said, I'm not sure that we need to be here. But they asked us to continue, and they liked this policy.
All right, further discussion?
Move to approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
Further discussion? All right, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, it passes. And then we will move on to audit. Are the bills being circulated for audit? Or?
Yeah.
All right, the next, we're now into the reports. And Dave, is there something that you want to headline before we get into the health insurance discussion?
Well, Bob will give the health insurance right. report, and then we have an overtime report. Al will give the general fund balance report. I don't know if these need to be commented on.
He's being public. Let's
see, Bernie's here for this one. And then, but the other thing I wanted to do, though, is we have somebody new here tonight. April Webb is here. I think many of you know her. She's been working in planning for many years, and now she'll be working with us and helping. One of the things she'll be doing is helping in the finance committee. I think April has met most of the people on the committee because you've worked with in the role you've served. I think you've had a chance to meet most of the county board, but have you met Ron Frederick in the past? And
I don't know.
Ron,
we have
April, and Ed, have you met both before?
Brent, soon you're wrong.
Okay, good. So
you've met each other. See a lot more of
you. I think you've met Mark and John and Terry and Bill and everyone else. And we have some other supervisors in the room, Mike Underhill.
From the PDEP committee that I.
You know everybody else. Good. And so
welcome to
April, and we love having her here to help help the committee do our thanks.
Thank you and welcome.
Welcome.
All right, why don't we move on to this first item on the agenda of reports, update on health insurance. And I ask that this be brought to the attention of the committee, and you have the rates before you in the form of
a few documents that I'll be referring to as I present today, and they are in front of each of you.
Do we have the Milliman?
I think the Milliman's on the desk too, right, Bob?
Yeah, both are on the desk.
Okay.
At the request of the chairman, I'm going to present kind of the process we go through and setting the rates on an annual basis. What we call premium is really somewhat of a misnomer. As you know, we are self-funded for health insurance, and what that means is that we create a fund, a pot of money, for lack of a better term, which essentially pays all the medical bills incurred by all of the folks that we insure over the course of 1 year of time. Now, we have 2,300 people on our plan, in all ranges of age, from 1265 all the way down to newborn children. In addition to paying their medical bills, the fund pays all of prescription medicine, the fund pays for stop-loss coverage, so that the county isn't exposed to a huge impact on the part of someone who has a very serious illness or injury. We also pay our administrator, which is the Humanic Healthcare Group, and they are the ones that negotiate all of the contracts with all the providers, pay them for the privilege of using their POS group. And so it is based on all of that service that we approach the county's actuaries on an annual basis and ask how much money we're going to need to do all of that in the course of a calendar year. We began using Milliman right after the $1.6 million debacle that occurred, I think, in 2002. Some of you were here for that. We shared in a very deliberate fashion how we come to how much money we need. So annually in June, we approach Milliman and pretty much ask them how much should we put in the budget preliminarily. Now, Milliman analyzes our medical activity, the ages of our group, the prescription medicines and the kinds of medicines that our group takes, cost of accessing medical care in our region, and just for the record, we are one of the most expensive regions in the country. That is not Chicago, by the way, that's this corner of Wisconsin. The amount of money the employees contribute is factored in, the age of our group, and all of that develops a preliminary estimate, which we use more or less of a placeholder in the preliminary discussions of the budget and how we build the budget. Milliman finalizes its estimate in September and then tells us, in the documents that I have handed out, how much money we should charge for family plan and how much money we should budget for a single plan. And so it is the term we use, budgeted rate, that we pass on to our insured. As you know, employees pay 5% up front of either the single or the family plan. This year, the single plan is $8,906 a year, or $742 a month, $21,375,000 for a family, $1,781.25 a month. And that represents a 3.85% increase, or about a 3.5% increase over the rates for 2013. That is a very reasonable and modest increase for healthcare costs. The average is more around 5% for this year, just under 5%. In this document, where we have presented the rates we've used for the last several years, you'll notice that the county is well below the national averages. In a bold move by the board and the exec in 2013, we took significant action to reduce the amount of money for health care by $2 million, and that represents that 9.2% decrease. Annually, we have come home with surpluses in the health care fund of near or at $2. And that, too, is factored into the woman's computation to tell us how much we need to charge. So everything is done very scientifically, very mathematically. Dave and Al, in their budget actions, have historically moved that number from a higher number down to a lower number because of the historical success of our plan and the amount of money that we have performed under budget. And with that, pretty much in a nutshell, explains how we come up with our rates. Does anyone have questions?
Discussion? Ron.
You remember we talked, excuse me, I lost my voice. We talked about prescription drugs, and some of our employees might be better off with some of the plans. Is that working out, or?
Our employees can go anywhere they want to get prescription drugs. And that differs from a number of years ago. Some of you will remember we had an exclusive contract with Walgreens for a while. That no longer is the case. And so, you know, Walmart has a series of prescription medicines, what they charge a buck for a month's supply. And and that's far superior to what even our generic co-payment is at 12 of them. So if you can.
You're better off.
Go to Walmart. You know, go to the same, you know, Target's got pharmacy, Kmart's got pharmacies, Walgreens, good values here. I would, you know, and they all have pretty good deals.
I'm on Medicare and I don't take Part D, but I'm able to get my parasite it's actually, some places it's $10 for 90 days.
Yeah.
Some are $15 for 90 days.
Well, Walmart is charging $4 for 90 days for a while there, but they now have a group of medications that are $1.
What's your analysis as to why we in southeastern Wisconsin are one of the highest in the nation?
We historically have been very well insured. And this community and the community of Green Bay are ideal examples of that. And I don't, the UAW and has negotiated extraordinarily good contracts for its employees. And those of you who have lived here a long time know what kind of influence UAW had on life in Kenosha. I have not lived here long, but you all have. And that is why, even as late as the early 80s, Kenosha was still had indemnity plans with 10% administrative fees available to providers. So we were kind of behind the curve in catching up. The first wave of managed care were HMOs, and they were prevalent in Milwaukee long before they became big down here. So in my opinion, it's we're just, you know, one step behind, or we're one step behind in those days where the rest of the country really started moving in that direction. That's an opinion. You ask for an that's an opinion, Terry.
That addressed the, yes, what you were asking, and that's, you may not be able to, so I get it, but not so much the cost of insurance, but what I find interesting.
But it's the reimbursement of the insurance that makes.
I get that, but our cost. Every analysis you see around this country, our cost. The cost for the service is incredible. And I don't know that necessarily I guess it ties into the insurance of them there.
You can charge $100 and get $110, we'll do it.
No. But what I find interesting is that, you know, we talk about we only saw whatever increase, right? And like saying gas under $4 a gallon, and it's been there for a while, so now we're comfortable with it. Yeah. These insurance numbers, you just get to the point where it's year over year over year. And it's coming. I mean, it is, it's just the tip of the iceberg. We've got to bail out these insurance companies, so be prepared. These are nothing.
And the Affordable Care Act is going to play a role next year.
And we will bail out the insurance companies. That's an opinion, too, by the way.
We're self-insured.
I get it, but don't think for a minute it's not going to, you know, why are our costs the way they are to get the service, period, right? It all comes back to catch up to everybody, and it will. The will self-balance, and that self-balance will drive our costs up for the care, and then it'll come right back to us as self-insured. So any way you cut it, it's going to increase costs.
Any further discussion on this point? All right, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Let's move on to the next report, Sheriff Overtime Report. And are you going to do that, Sheriff, or someone else? The next item on the agenda is the Sheriff's Overtime Report. Is that something?
That's a report that the committee requested. They have
answer questions.
Oh, okay, fine.
I'm going to distribute the reports. This is something Supervisor Grady asked that we have on the agenda every reports here.
Okay, now this is the overtime report.
Yeah, there's two reports here.
Okay.
I think that if we have any questions, the sheriff is here. I don't think any of you are intending to go over the report. The request that we report every month to the committee.
Could you just kind of highlight at least a single sheet here so we are refreshed?
Yeah, and this will be the approach, and certainly it ought to be in the packet before we come here in case we do have questions.
Now, we can do that, but it might be 2 weeks behind. We're more timely when we bring it to the committee meeting. It's up to the committee, though, okay?
All right, go ahead and hit the highlights. So.
I guess on this one here, it's pretty self-explanatory. You have the correctional facility and the pretrial and the KCDC, and it shows the biweekly payrolls and what the overtime hours were. The second page shows who's getting that overtime. Second and third page. Because it's not all correctional officer. If you look at the pretrial facility, and when you go to the KCDC, most of it is the correctional officer.
So is it going up, down, about the same, or what are your conclusions that you?
Well, obviously it's going down. We hit highs of at KCDC. We hit highs of 1,500 hours, and you know, over 1,500 hours in the 17th and 18th payrolls. We're down. We were up 1130. We had a 1550 or 60, but we're down to 1180. So there is a trend down in the KCDC, which most of the overtime was, although now it looks like we've trended up a little bit over the pretrial. So, but Bob Riedel had mentioned, now we have the full staff. We are using the correctional officers. So as we go forward and get this report every month, hopefully we'll see the downward trend really occur.
We take a look at the front page here and looking at KCDC. It's almost like a cyclical type situation where we have overtime that's in the four digits. You know, the most recent one is 1180.5. Then you're up at, am I getting this correctly? 1118. Oh, it's all averaging about 1,000 hours overtime, except for ending 1130, we're up at 1,500.
Yeah, if you look, you know, if you look back at the 10th payroll, it popped up to 1,400, and it stayed up in that 1,400 area up until the 21st payroll. Then it came down, and there's a blip up in the 24th payroll back up, but it's back down again to that 1,100. And I guess I'd have the sheriff or the chief deputy explain
that. That fluctuation obviously is caused by external things. We have in-service we have to do, and when you have as many correctional officers, we need 24 hours in-service a year. We send them, and then we have to backfill that overtime, so that automatically increases your pay period. And we have different sessions, have 8 or 9, 10 sessions. We can't send everybody overtime, so it has to be spaced out, which increases the overtime. Then you have a lot of time, like in the summertime when there's a lot of vacations taken, those people go, we got to backfill that overtime. So that's where you'll see your spikes. We do have ANS and WC and a couple long-termers, but that really doesn't have the impact as these other things do. So that's why you see the ups and downs. And just to come back just a little bit what Al was talking about, although we have hired these people, we have to remember there's a training period that they have to go through. So they're not really out on the floor doing the thing by themselves yet. So it takes a little while, but I think by now we're still going to get ahead of the curve. We'll be okay.
Further discussion?
Yeah, I just want to point out the second report shows the average overtime during a pay period for each of the correctional facilities.
else, yeah?
I think that's the additional report you'd asked for, Supervisor.
Yes, that's what I want to see. Just another question. Through the chair to our two representatives from the Sheriff's Department, assuming that we have all the personnel we can have budgeted for, the additional three independent fully trained and so forth, at that point, could you just make an estimate, a guesstimate as to, just for example, KCDC, what we'd expect to see in overtime hours for given pay periods? I mean, is there anything to be in?
No, I can't do that, Supervisor Grady, only because of variables. We can certainly lower, but we have to remember that we opened up KCDC already short staff, your paid staff, we've never been up to model staff to ensure the need to do the facilities. Although we accepted that liability and went with it, we'll be in a lot better shape. We should see a significant reduction as long as we don't have, you know, a lot of ANS, whether it's COM, FMLA, like that kind of stuff. But I don't think you'll see the issues right now. So it should be substantially lower.
One other thing is, two of the three that was overhired one's going to be leaving us and one got promoted. So two of those three are already going to be absorbed into our current staff. So we have to hire two more to replace them.
And where are we at with the list these days?
Just right at the top. We just started picking it.
Okay, so we're at a fresh, fresh batch.
We tested in April, so we've got.
In terms of the differentiation between KCDC and pretrial, how does that stack out in terms of staff? Do you feel that you're basically geared up for each one equally, or does one of them have more of a need?
KCDC has more correctional officer staff, it's a bigger facility, covers more territory. The unfortunate part, you can never really build through the issue. I mean, we could hire staff like crazy, and we would still have overtime, so. We always use more like the sheriff's station. It's manageable if we can keep these overhires at a constant, which is dropping into positions where we need it instead of going through the process and waiting. And that's what we're going to attempt to do, that always keep three or four correctional officers in the hopper so we can just drop them in when we need.
Well, your efforts are appreciated. Thank you for your response. That's all my question, Mr. Chair.
What the number's at right now?
For beds, we're about, is it 231 care?
So we're 30 over, 35 over.
You said 230?
Yeah, we budgeted 195, and we are, so we're doing well so far this year. We are over 195.
And that does impact the overtime as well, correct?
It does, if it gets to a certain point where they have to open up a new dorm. If we don't have to open up a new dorm, it's manageable within the numbers.
All right, any other discussion on the overtime? All right, seeing none, let's move on then to the general fund balance report that you're doing out.
I'm distributing it right now.
All right.
Next month, I'll have that. The general fund report shows that we're most likely going to stay within our 17%, whether we close above last year's balance or not at this point. It's a little rough. The major things that changed in this report are the fact that our treasurer's revenue, I think I was showing 300,000 shortfall last time. It looks like it might be about 600,000. And we have an increase in tax delinquencies at this point, but we can show the impact for 60 days, and we're only showing the first 14 days. So that right now is showing that the delinquencies would go up. The last report I gave you showed that the delinquencies would go down by 200. That has an $800,000 swing in this report. But as we get into February, we'll have a better picture. I'll have more of the year-end closing entries in, and then we bring the final closeout in March. So this is where we are with the big items right now that are in. We still have 2 months of sales tax collections to come in, and hopefully, you know, that'll go up higher than the 425,000 that we're over at this point. And, you know, we're wrapping up and have more entries to do with regard to health insurance in some of the departments, but these are kind of some of the big picture items and known items at this particular time.
Al, I notice here it says sheriff's deficit, and among other things, it says pharmaceutical. More inmates using drugs, prescription drugs, or increase in prices of prescription drugs, or what?
Types of drugs, medications.
More expensive things are being prescribed? So is that something?
Cut them off.
Is that something new?
No, there can be years that it goes up and down. The type of inmate and the type of healthcare problems they might have require certain types of drugs. And depending on how long they stay, 3 months, 6 months, a year, we have to throw them off.
Okay.
We'll send this report out to the board as we usually do.
Yes.
Or put it on their desk or send it on the packet.
It's a pretty significant swing from where we were trending, though.
Like I said, the two big items were the treasurer's revenue, $300,000, and there's an $800,000 swing in the delinquencies. But on the other end, there's a few positives. The health insurance is up a little bit, the sales tax is up. It's a little early. I feel very, very confident, but this is what I know at this time. The things I was looking at that aren't in yet that might go over.
Yeah.
Hopefully that will be at the same level.
So
just the things I've been looking at.
Discussion with Dave and maybe the committee should know. These are new delinquencies then.
Correct.
These are brand new. Says something, what did that say about the local economy?
Well, it's early yet, too, because we're only looking at the first 15 days worth of collections in the month.
Right.
And we have a 60 days of collections that we can recognize.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that this number is most likely going to go down substantially. This is where it is today. Our projection.
We'll go in March.
Be interesting to know, are these delinquencies due to the vacant buildings, the numerous gas stations that are there vacant, or is this residential?
Yeah, we get that information as we get closer, we'll find out what that actual number is. We'll come back probably with our closeout and tell you where, as much as we know where those things came from. But we have a lot more work to do in determining some of these numbers. And those are real soft at this particular point. I like to be very conservative at this point until we still have two more days of accrual for the payroll for this year to determine where our vacancy is. There's still a lot of factors. I mean, I know there's some accruals that are made. There's some payments that aren't reflected yet.
How does golf look?
Golf is going to be very close. If they have a shortfall, and I saw a slight shortfall, marginal, but it's relatively small. It's low.
$16.
No, it's not. No, it's a small, mid, small, below mid. Five figures, how's that?
Brian?
Kind of puzzled with this treasurer thing. We didn't, obviously, the January 31st is the first installment.
Okay.
So where did these delinquents, I would like to see, maybe the treasurer would come and tell us how far back some of these properties are, and are people, obviously it's people that aren't paying on time, and some of them may be way over the limit as far as tax deeding, right?
I couldn't tell you for sure. I know she come in September, August or September. You guys had her in here going through all of the delinquencies and all of the reports.
Yeah, but this swing is really, be nice to know what caused it.
Well, we're a little early because we are only recognizing, the earlier collection. And when we get a better picture to see this swing to a positive number.
I'm trying to figure out what you're talking about, early collections.
Well, the auditors allow us to take the first 60 days of collections.
You're not talking about taxpayers, because they're still paying at the town and the city.
On the delinquencies. Senators let us make the first 60 days of collections on delinquent taxes and reduce the amount of delinquencies for closing out 13.
Be nice to get a number on what that number of delinquencies is.
But I think we should wait until we, I can try to get that and see what we can get, but once we know what the delinquency number is and we're closing out, we get a full report based on that number. Would probably be the best scenario to give you.
Bill?
I don't think I'm really clear on the increase in tax delinquencies. You've heard it mentioned a couple times. Is it your statement then, if I'm understanding at least a portion of what you're saying, that we've got approximately 15 days in a certain, what, 60-day window?
We get 60-day window, and it's only on the delinquent taxes.
Yes.
Okay. And we're only looking at the first 15 days.
And that's what this number is here, the 695.
Right, and trending that out.
Okay, so basically we've got another 45 days.
That's right.
That we're going to see this amount come down.
Hopefully we'll
see it. But we don't know to what extent.
Hopefully,
am I understanding that correctly?
Right.
Historically, we collect 15% of the delinquency in the first 60 days.
Okay.
This is using 8%, so roughly half, but that's what we got at the end of 2012.
Right, that's
so
just
the most recent year was only 8%, so we're using the most recent year for our trend analysis there. Maybe it'll come in at 15. If it did, that could wipe that out.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right, any other discussion on this report? All right, then we'll move on. Now, do you have anything on Public Works, Human Services?
No, there's no other. The only other report, there were 3 months worth of county clerk's report. I think there were 2 in your packet and an additional 1 on your desk. And
you have any comments? Or
the only comment on the revenue side, they came in within just $4,000 short in their overall revenues, which is fairly decent.
All right. That brings us down to the continued discussion regarding drug forfeiture funds. I received this letter after the discussion at the meeting, and Bernie's going to comment on it. You all have that in your packet.
Mm-hmm. We do.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I did take a look at the letter from Congressman Ryan, and I was comforted a bit that when he asked the Congressional Research Service to provide him information on what rules apply to the kind of fund we're looking at, that service came up with the very same guidelines, the 47-page U.S. Department of Justice guidelines for equitable sharing that I shared with the committee and with the board in October. So I was comforted that we were looking at the same rules and there wasn't anything that we missed, no governing statute, things like that. Consequently, the rules were discussed by the committee and looked at by our office fairly closely at that time. This letter doesn't change our opinion that was previously given when we were asked to look at the lawfulness of the KDOG account. One of the things that I think was maybe not conveyed to Congressman Ryan is that because the Department of Justice allows task forces to apply for I think it's CRIC numbers, they get the opportunity, if they're approved by the Department of Justice, to receive the money directly. And that is the case with the KDOG account. The KDOG primarily consists of the Sheriff's Department and the Police Department, but also the application and the NCIC number includes the Twin Lakes Police Department and the Pleasant Prairie Police Department and the University of Wisconsin Police Department. And it's to that organization, the KDOG organization, that the money goes to. And the at the time we looked at this, Mr. Gerson and the auditor and the Department of Justice, person who handles these accounts, all agreed that it was audited correctly and it was handled correctly. And our independent auditor, who does our national audit for the county once a year, indicated that most of his clients handle it the way, or account for it in the way that we account for it here in, with the KDOG task force. But here's to remind the committee what my conclusion was. I'll just read four lines of what that report was earlier given. Here's the, on the last page, conclusion. We conclude that the fund has been operated lawfully by the Kenosha Sheriff. No violations of state, federal, or local law have been observed. And here's the point I wanted to say. It's lawful to account for the fund outside of the annual budget. Similarly, it would be also lawful to account for the fund within the annual budget, but this would appear to require a for information open only type of inclusion so as to comply with the other federal rules. As you all know, this was 47 page rules, and some of them were a little bit ambiguous and required interpretation, but we did seek the interpretation from the Department of Justice when you have a KDOG unit, and consequently, they said what we're doing is fine. And that was our conclusion. With respect to the measure that went to the board, during discussion at this committee, I was asked, is this a lawful, would this be a lawful enactment? And I answered, yes, this would be a lawful enactment. That continues to be my opinion. It's lawful the way we do it. It could be included the other way, but it doesn't have to be.
What you're saying, though, seems to me to be contrary to what Congressman Ryan is saying in paragraph number four.
I don't know what Congressman, what information Congressman Ryan has, for instance.
But you have the letter.
I have the letter, but does he know that the money goes to the task force and not Kenosha County Sheriff's Department?
Well, and is that a difference, and that makes a difference?
Makes a big difference.
I mean, it's... Well, they work for the sheriff, they work for the police department. I don't see that that's...
I think Mr. Gerson can address the accounting principle.
It just strikes me that paragraph number four is so clear and that it is contrary to what you've advised.
You could comment on
that. And it's referencing the same document, but that you just put all the credence in the fact that you both were looking at the same document. So I don't understand the dual interpretation.
I don't either.
I need to know what the local law is, which it specifically states local law, that allows us to do it the way we're doing it.
That's what I'll comment.
Right.
I hear the question is, get an understanding of the local law, and that exactly is what I would comment on that even prior to the question. And if you read the comment from the Congressional Research Service, it says CRS officials stated that it appears that if there is an existing law in place stating that the municipality or county officials have regulation over the use of money that is seized from drug activity, that law is to be abided by. When I read that, it gave me great comfort, because we do have a law and we are abiding by law. So there's a state law, it's 6590, and then we adopt that law in our ordinances and then further clarify that in our budget resolution. So that's the chain of local laws that we have.
What is 6590?
6590 of the state law. 6590, it's the law that governs county budgets.
Right.
And so then we adopt that in our ordinance, so that's adopted in the county ordinance, and then we further address that in our budget resolution. In the budget resolution, we have the language that's referred to on page 3 of the report that was prepared and delivered to the county by Corporation Council. And there's it's page, well, let me say one more thing. The law that addresses this point is on page 17 of the budget resolution. So that's where that's the law that we abide by, that the CRS refers to. So, but in the Corporation Council report on page 6, talks about page 3 of the report that our department, that Department of Finance and Administration, Administrative Services prepared. But in the Corp Council report, it says page 3 details that purchases of capital outlay from the K-Dog forfeiture funds are recorded as a donation to Kenosha County. The items purchased is recorded on the Kenosha County books as an asset consistent with generally accepted accounting principles and the county policy for budget modification. So we have a law and we abide by that law, and the Congressional Research Service says that you comply with the requirements of this grant. So I took comfort in reading this. It seemed to, there seemed to be no contradiction. It seemed to exactly agree with the report that we issued and with the county policy and the state law on county budgets.
But Ryan specifically cites, and he circled number 9, obtain approval for expenditures from the governing body such as the town council, city manager's office if appropriate. And then he says, goes on to say, that's the federal regulation. And if you do that, he says, and you have an existing law, you're okay. And if you don't, you're not. And you better pass it. So that's my reading of it. And the mere fact that we have authority over the budget begs the question.
We have existing law and we abide by that law. We have an existing budget law.
We have no existing law on this subject.
Yes, we do.
What?
It's the thing I cited. It's page 17 of the budget resolution.
Which says what?
That's a policy that we just created.
No, that's
as a result of this issue.
No. That's been a policy on our books for 20 years, if not longer.
I understand what you're saying on existing law, but this requires, and I think quite specifically, the governing body must authorize.
It says, it appears that if there is an existing law in place stating that the municipality or county officials have regulation over the money that is seized from drug activity, this law is to be abided by.
But you got to read the first sentence before it. The first sentence before it references a specific paragraph in the regulations which require the governing body approval.
Well, I'm
that's the lead-in.
I pointed that out over and over again during the discussion.
Well, and here we're getting it from the congressman.
Well, and I agree with it. It says we are to abide by the law, and we are abiding by the law. And I looked at that section before anyone at this table looked at the section, and it has a part at the back end that says, if appropriate, you have to include that in the amendment. It says, if appropriate.
Well, I don't agree, but go ahead.
Yeah, I'm not real clear on this because you keep referring to the K-Dog expenses, but that's only one item out of many expenses out of that fund. The personnel cost is another line. Fund out of that expense out of that fund. So why do you only refer to the K-Dog expenditures?
When I say K-Dog, I mean the whole program, the whole drug forfeiture program.
All right.
Further discussion.
I guess just a question, Dave. If you're that you must read, and I agree, it's part of the whole sentence. If appropriate, what is it that you believe? If appropriate, doesn't apply here.
It doesn't apply if it's not a county expense. If it's not county revenue, it wouldn't apply to revenue that is received by another entity.
So something 6590, it is for us. I'm assuming 6590 is what gives the county, the authority over the budget. Correct?
The state board.
Law that gives the county board the authority over the budget. Correct.
Right.
All right. What is it? Is it the policy language you cited on page
17 of the budget
that supersedes the law?
It does supersede the law.
Sure that does. It takes the authority away from the county board.
Not if the county board adopts that.
I mean, even on grants, these small and large grants that we get, we approve them. Why is this different? And I think Ryan says exactly that.
And if you talk about a donation, if someone's going to donate 35 acres of land to Kenosha County, I don't recall the Parks director coming in and saying, incidentally, we should start insuring this. We just got 35 acres last week. So I mean, it's contradictory all the way around.
I don't think it's contradictory. I think that the if you get, so if the example you use is an external party that's donating something, this is internal. This is a county official that's part of county government. So that there's a difference there. If you look at the resolution that the county adopts, it conforms with the law, and it allows us to accept this and amend the budget, and then we abide by our budget, and we are to abide by that policy, and by doing that, we abide by the policy. You know, talk about grants that the county gets, but this grant is received by an outside agency. This grant is not a grant that the county gets directly. The thing that comes directly to us is when an asset is purchased and then donated to the county. That's the part that comes to the county and then gets on the county budget. And the county policy permits an amendment to the budget in that case. So we abide by the interpretation provided by the Congressional Research Service.
The board doesn't accept these. We don't accept it, nor do we reject the donation of the asset. We never voted on that.
We have policy that lets me amend the budget for that.
In this, but we never approved a budget amendment on that.
I'm not aware of it. I'm just saying that a policy that permits amendment to the budget.
So when we've never done that.
It permits the amendment to the budget for it.
Without us.
It's an unlawful delegation of legislative authorities, which you call it in the law.
Well,
you can't authorize an administrator to amend the budget.
The county board adopts that. It adopts the resolution that permits that to be done.
I don't think we've authorized any administrator. And I don't believe that that is legal, that you can authorize an administrator to amend a budget that a board has lawfully adopted. Never. No.
The point that I would make is I don't think anyone here is talking about malfeasance, inappropriate purchase, spurious types of things. I don't think that's what we're looking at. I think we're looking at things that come into the county's purview, things that come into the county that we ultimately kind of be responsible for, some type of asset. This legislative body should have basically the ability to do the due diligence on it. It should not come on board without our stamp of approval. That's my position. That's what I read in this document.
I can't stress enough that nobody has said, well, maybe Mr. Dodge very specifically said there was some underhanded things going on. I certainly have not ever subscribed to that, okay? But I also don't believe we are following however you want to put it, the law. I think we have inadvertently here, at a minimum, relieved ourselves of a legislative authority that I'm not sure we could have and should have. And the more we talk about this, the more it becomes clear, and the more it continues to ring in my head, Supervisor Skalitsky talking about not wanting to get into, or a clandestine operation should remain clandestine. That has never been part of the conversation. But there continues to be, and I'm going to say to the Corporation Council, there continues to be, although you're going to tell me no, some discrepancy here. And if maybe the only discrepancy right now is whether or not the language we have in our budget policy, in fact, is appropriate. Because I do believe and agree with Supervisor Rolls that we have relieved ourselves of a legislative authority that I'm not convinced that was the intent or is appropriate. So at a minimum, I guess I'd like to have that question looked at and answered. You may not be prepared to do it tonight, and I understand that. But if it doesn't, you can't get your arms around the issue. Just remember what I've said repeatedly. We can bring equipment into this county, which the sheriff did. I saw it. I disagree that we need it. Without any discussion with the county board, yet he can't sell a used boat or used motors without the county board approval. How is that not backwards?
Yeah.
I can give you a donation with the director of finance making a change to the budget. No other approval necessary, because the claim is that we've given them that authority. Yet when it comes time to sell that boat or motor, or what I'm using that as example because that's what was before us recently, whether there's value to it or no value to it, we got to have 23 people say it's okay. Something is amiss that I don't know. If I had that discussion today on that policy language, I would certainly wouldn't be supportive of it.
The point of clarification, I yes. didn't say there was any misappropriations. I asked Corporation Counsel to look into it to see that everything was okay. I did not say that there were. I asked him to look into it.
I think that still stands. But now we have received that vehicle. It's now county property. So if he wanted to dispose of it, he'd have to come to us to do that. So I don't think it's backwards as far as that part.
But the two people that approved, that made it happen, were the sheriff and our finance director.
Okay. So now we have it, right?
And that doesn't strike you as being...
Okay, that argument aside, they cannot get rid of it without our approval, though, from this point.
Well, you're not giving me any sense of comfort. You don't want it.
I'm not trying to. I'm just
because if I didn't want it in the first place, I have no choice.
Well, we got it now.
Yeah, well, that's how this all came about.
It's been fun.
Yeah.
Or something.
So, Mr. Chairman, I would ask that we get, we have that particular issue looked at. Is it, in fact, a lawful stipulation
delegation legislative?
Yeah. And
I mean, that's a part of the issue. No. We can't delegate that authority to somebody else, and it has nothing to do with it or not. I mean, I don't think you should look upon this as trying to undermine anybody's authority. We, after all, we authorize the county executive to enter into contracts. We place something in the budget on that issue. He has a small fund to give donations. Could he do that on his own without our authority? Absolutely not. It's the same thing. And I don't know why everybody's fearful of standing up to this. It goes to the basic heart of your job as a legislator.
I agree. How do we move forward?
There was a resolution that was brought before the county board that was rejected. If somebody wants to put that to the board again based on
well,
this.
Well, and I'll look at it, Mr. Chairman, but I would like, again, some feedback from Corp Counsel's office on whether or not we have unlawfully surrendered our legislative authority with that specific budget language.
You want that back at the next meeting?
At the very latest, yes.
Bernie?
I will try to come up with something quick.
All right, further discussion? All right. Is there anything on what you list, Dave, as monthly statement or budget modification?
Anything else, Al?
No, there was the monthly statement, and I don't remember if there were any budget statements here at your desk and the
Yeah, I believe those are circulated.
Yeah, but the green sheet.
Yeah, they're inside. Okay.
Anything further?
Will we adjourn?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And the next meeting, just for next meeting,
February 16th.
February 16th. Okay, so great.
I think that might be wrong.
No?
I can get you up on my
phone.
You
don't have time now, but
Valentine's Day? February
13th.
That's a Thursday?
It would be nice if they knew that.
Yeah.
That's a Thursday.
That's a Thursday. Yeah.
You're right.
You guys should know Valentine's. Come on.
No. I'll know when it's February. Yeah. Okay. We're not into February. Yeah. Before we leave, can I just have a word with you for about 5 minutes?
I mean, I got
Patrick, make sure all your plans.
I'm going to close this
out. Yeah.